This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. And if we sound a little different this morning, it's because we actually are out in the community. We're at the Michigan Firehouse Museum, and a lot of people I know in Ypsilanti have driven by this a whole bunch of times, and like me, good morning, I'm Patrick Campion, by the way, have never been inside of it. We've always viewed it from afar, and I could tell you that I jumped at the opportunity when I heard that this week's piece was going to feature the 20th anniversary of the museum to come on out and record from inside of it, I guess as a personal excuse to come in and ring the bell and hear the horns and see all the incredible sights and sounds inside of this museum. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
So you chose to do the piece on the Firehouse Museum this week, I'm assuming just because of the 20th anniversary, but what else you got going on here?
Well, also because the Firehouse Museum has a new director, Al Dyer, as of July, and he's got some exciting new ideas for how to continue the traditions of the museum while bringing in some new patrons and some new events.
And want to remind people that 89.1 WEMU is the media partner for On the Ground Ipsy. It's a reporting project that sends Sarah out into the community to talk about the great things and people and events going on in Ypsilanti that are really distinguishing the community and raising it up. I think that's a big part of what we do here, is talking about the good things that are happening in Ypsilanti, or even if there are problems, the people that are working on making them better. You could find all of her great work at concentratemedia.com. We, of course, will link over to it as well at WEMU.org. So you mentioned that the museum has a new director. Al's here with us today, right?
Correct. How are you doing this morning?
And Al, you won me over already because you're wearing an Eastern Michigan sweatshirt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm an alum, also a student and an employee, obviously. But are you an alum?
Actually, yes, I am. I received my master's degree from there in 2014.
Just wanted to remark on that because we encounter all kinds of alumni that are still here in the community serving this community. Was EMU your first experience with Ipsy, or were you here before?
Actually, I came out to Ypsilanti to go to the Eastern Michigan School of Staff and Command for Fire and Police.
Okay.
And through that, I learned about the opportunity to achieve a master's degree.
So you were
that.
One of those guys that took up the parking spots in Pease?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So you were to blame.
All right. Yeah, I was to blame.
If you've ever tried to park on campus when they're having these little, I don't know, what do you call them? Are they like a seminar or a, you know?
The School for Staff and Command is actually a 10-month-long program where students go there for 40 hours, 1 week a month, 40 hours, and they basically learn executive command and stuff like that from Eastern.
See, we came to learn about the Firehouse Museum, and we learned about something else.
That's
how we roll here at WEMU. So, Al, you're new here at the Firehouse Museum. How long you been the director here?
I was hired in July, early July.
And what made you interested in coming in to work for the Fire Museum?
Well,
Firehouse Museum.
So real fast, my wife is an ER nurse, and she's a traveling nurse, so she got a job posting here in Michigan, and it was a good opportunity for us to come back for the summer. And while I was here, I reached out to some of my friends over at Eastern Michigan to see if they possibly needed some instructors, and they said, no, you know, the budget's kind of tight right now. They said, but however, we do have an interesting opening that I learned about as a museum director, and I sort of chuckled because I never really planned on putting museum director on my resume, and it's a job that you don't really think of unless you're specifically going for historical preservation or something like that.
And just to let people know, what is your background? I'm assuming it's related to the work being done, exemplified by the exhibits around us, right?
Correct, yes. I worked in Lincoln Park Fire Department for 22 years. I left there as the fire chief, moved out to Iowa, became a new fire chief out there, resigned from there, came back here. Now I'm here.
Okay, so looking around us now, you're looking at the history of the profession you chose. I'm sure you're very passionate about it. What is it that draws you as a firefighter to this building, to these surroundings? I mean, does it kind of feel like home to you?
It does in a way. The old firehouse has a certain familiarity to it. The displays and exhibits around here, though, is really neat. Being in the fire service now for 24 years, what's really neat about this place is I learned a lot while I was in the fire service, but I learned a lot about modern firefighting, because that's what's important at this point is, you know, make sure you know what the house is built like, the tools you're using. But coming here, I get to see quite literally the evolution of fire technology and how we apply it. And it's a really, it's a neat journey to go through.
And do you see like innovation in progress here? I mean, you see the way that they tackle the fires over the years, and obviously fires aren't the only things that firefighters work on, you mentioned the technology. I mean, do you kind of empathize with what some of these guys had to go out and do, you know, in order to put, I mean, the amount of risk they were putting themselves at, especially?
Yeah, I would agree. The early firefighting techniques and equipment, most of them were back garage built type things because they needed something to do something, and that's kind of where it came from. But early firefighters, I mean, if you think about it, the display cabinet across your shoulder over there has SCBAs, which I think is probably one of the most critical inventions in the fire department. So now firefighters are actually able to take fresh air into the fire with them instead of breathing all right. The toxic air.
And so you mentioned something that you were just looking at there. People like me have never been to the Firehouse Museum, or even if you've been here a bunch of times, give me the highlights. What are the things that you recommend people absolutely have to see in the museum?
Well, the first thing I think they have to see is they have to go into the old 1898 firehouse. It's a beautiful building. It's got a ton of history. And over there is where we keep a lot of our 1870s fire equipment, which are functional, but when you see them, they're absolute gorgeous pieces of art. They're gold, you know, they have a gold lay in them, they're copper, they're brass, they're chrome, they're just beautiful.
And you mentioned the 1898 firehouse, and I'm doing a little math in my head, and that was 120 years ago, mm-hmm. and the Firehouse Museum is 20 years old. Was it a coincidence that the Firehouse Museum opened on the 100th anniversary of that building?
I don't know for sure on that one. That's something that was before my time, but it's pretty serendipitous if you think about it.
Yeah, and let's talk about the 20 years now for a moment. The Firehouse Museum celebrating its 20th anniversary. Give me a little history here. Why was it started? I mean, why was this important to the state of Michigan, or, you know, to firefighters in general? I couldn't even tell you who started it. So give us a little background there.
Well, the museum was actually founded by Norma and Howard Weaver. Howard was a fire enthusiast and went around and collected a lot of the fire trucks. And then Norma, her father, was actually an Ann Arbor firefighter who unfortunately passed away on the line of duty in 1961. So I think, looking back, the Weavers, I can't speak for them personally, but looking at their history and their ties to the community, this was obviously something that they both enjoyed and wanted to pay homage to her father and his love for the fire service. And like anything else, I mean, you see what we have around us, right? Not all of this can fit in that little 1898
right,
firehouse.
Right.
So eventually they had to build on and have a proper room for the displays and the exhibits, and this is where this came from. A little side note on this building, though, is that we have some pictures over in the early cabinet that will show you that when the firehouse was here, there was actually a very large house here that once they bought the property, the Weavers let the Ypsilanti Fire Department use it as a training fire, which is awesome, in my
right,
opinion.
So at one point they burned the house down.
Right.
Yeah. The vehicles you mentioned, you know, it's an interesting collection. I mean, it definitely, you know, you have horse and buggy type stuff all the way up to a little more current versions of these. And I think that from my youth, I'm used to seeing these kinds of things in parades and whatnot. I mean, how hard is it to maintain these vehicles, even if they're just sitting here? I mean, what kind of work do you have to do to keep the collection alive?
Well, sitting here is a lot less work than when they were actively on the road, obviously. But really what we do is one of the big things is we got to make sure the building's humidity is proper so the tires don't rot. We have to make sure the air pressure is good. To my knowledge, all of these actually still run. So we do have some gentlemen here that volunteer at the museum that come in and tinker around on the trucks a little bit to make sure they maintain the running. But just like any other vehicle, it's, you know, get it out, blow the carbon out once in a while, knock the dust off. But we don't want to knock the 1870s dust off. We got to make sure we knock the modern day dust off.
You don't want to lose that patina.
Don't want to lose the patina, that's right.
So besides the few days a week that you can come out and just come out during open hours, what other kind of things happen at the Firehouse Museum?
Oh, tons. Tons of stuff now is one of the things that as the new director I want to do is open this up as a venue for events. And as you can see, we have quite a bit of space, and you're actually fortunate today because you're coming in here when we just got done with the event, so you can see kind of how we lay out our tables. We can easily fit 100 to 150 people on this floor, and I have a whole basement that's the same size. We have a mezzanine, so
So what kind of events have you had here? Give me some highlights.
Well, recently, obviously, we just had the 20th anniversary event the other night. We had a investment firm decide to host a private party for their investors, and they had a unique beer tasting, which was a very good event that came out there. December 8th, coming up, we have our inaugural Paranormal Investigators Convention. And then we're going to be looking either January, February for a chili cook-off. And then in March, I want to do a kickoff to Mardi Gras with a red beans and rice competition.
Well, let's go back to the paranormal for a minute. I know that part of the reason that that convention or that meeting is coming here, at least peripherally, is there are people that believe that the firehouse is haunted.
Correct.
Who's haunting the firehouse?
See, we don't know for sure, but if we had to put our finger on somebody right now, the leading theory is it's actually an ex-former chief. His name is Chief Alonzo Miller, who passed away in 1936. And then the firefighters at the time started reporting him showing up, moving stuff. Still doing his job in 1941. But now, from what I understand, though, he's a friendly ghost. He's more of a prankster. He likes to move your stuff on you.
I was going to ask you that. What do you see? Have you ever experienced this firsthand?
Not yet.
So just reports to you that the doors would be opened or shelves would be rearranged or things like that.
Correct. Yep.
And the paranormal folks, are they coming? Are they going to be doing an investigation while they're here?
Yes. From my understanding, there's going to be quite a few people coming in, different groups, different organizations. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to offer, after the convention, we want to offer private group events. So if you're a group from Ohio, you want to come up, you can rent the museum for the night, do your investigation. I had to have a crash course on the whole paranormal society, what different levels do and what they're looking for. But from my understanding, I had a group in here previously, and they kind of walked through and they got very excited about the energy of the building. They got very excited about the history. They've done research on the hauntings. So
when you come out, you can ring a bell.
Well, that's actually a bell that's dedicated to a member that has passed on. One of the traditions around the firehouse typically is if you ever watch the movie Backdraft or Fahrenheit, there's
the end of watch bell.
Yeah, there are ends of watch bells, and that's his bell.
And you can ring the siren or roll a siren, too. I was going to say ring it, but it's a hand crank siren. I know that he remarked that somebody had to sit there and actually move that thing. It wasn't just a flip of a switch. We'll give you a little sample audio of that, too. Thanks, Al, for keeping the Firehouse Museum going, and welcome back to the Ypsilanti community from one Eastern alum to another. It's good to see you here and wearing the green and white, and certainly hoping to keep this going in our community. I imagine you have visitors from all over the world, too, that come here?
Actually, yeah, I was really surprised. My first month here, I noticed a couple, and I noticed a slight accent. So I asked them where they were from, and they were from Russia. And so we get visitors from not only the area and different states, but we get visitors here from around the world. It's a very unique venue over here.
Local history, a lot of state history, and a lot of just great history of firefighting in general right here in this building. You wouldn't believe how much they packed into one small space. So what do you have planned next for us, Ms. Sarah Rigg?
I'm not 100% sure because I'm juggling a couple stories, but I hopefully, if not the next time, in the next couple of times I'm on here, I'm going to be talking about a business that's opening in Ypsilanti that people have been waiting for years.
Well, we're going to have to leave you hanging a little bit there, and we are going to take the week off for Thanksgiving, so next week you won't hear it on the ground, Ipsy, but we'll see you again in a couple of weeks, and looking forward to what you have to share with us on the next On the Ground Ipsy Wednesday mornings on WEMU.